Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 147, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. O save me by thy name, and judge me in thy might. O God, now grant my urgent claim acceptance in thy sight. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of 147. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 19th chapter, beginning with verse 23 through verse 42. John 19, verses 23 through 42. And then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, and that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this evening Stephanie Arnoldusen and Anjo Vendriel, who were both spared wonderfully in an accident this morning. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, Thou who didst spare the lives of each and every one of us, and then in a special way also to young ladies in our midst. Lord, Thou knowest all things from the side of men. Then it can be so very, very close that we are to that great and never-ending eternity. And from the side of Thee, then the day of our death, that is known, Lord, that Thou may remember those two young friends. Oh, that Thou may bind also this calling upon their young hearts, that they may still be with us, with their parents in the land of the living, that it may be a wonder unto them in their young life, but that it may be a calling unto them, to the young people and children also in the midst of us, for there is but one step between us and death. Lord, that Thou may instruct each and every one of us in the uncertainty of our life. And for us all things, they are so unknown. But all the future is known to Thee. And the lives of each one of us, they are held in Thy hand. But we need to be prepared to die. Thou knowest the reason that we gather also in this evening hour. Lord, it is a commemoration of death. Oh, we call it Good Friday. And indeed, it must become a good day unto each of us personally. Shall it be well with us in that great judgment? That substitution may also have been for us in a personal way. And that we might desire to know thereof in our life, each and every one of us, young and old. Because by nature, there is no form or comeliness in Thee. And we see no beauty in Thee and in Thy mediatorial work. And also Thy great suffering and even unto death, that has no place in our hearts. Oh, Thou knowest it is so also for Thy own children, until Thou wilt open their eyes. Oh, could it be even in this evening hour, that Thou may look upon us as travelers to eternity, and that Thou may impress upon our hearts that which Thou hast accomplished for Thy people. Oh, how necessary that it must have been for thee to suffer and to die, else thou wouldst never have given thine only begotten Son. Oh, then it is a testimony of our helplessness to deliver ourselves from that great pit wherein we have brought ourselves in our deep fall. It is a testimony of the impossibility from our side ever to be reconciled with Thee, and that Thou hast delivered up unto death him in whom Thou art so well pleased. Lord, that it may be also a testimony in our own hearts in this evening hour, and that for the first time in our life, our eyes may go open for our great need, and that we may be given hearts to understand, that we may begin to seek Thee while Thou art still to be found, and that we may earnestly look for Thee and seek for Thee before that door is forever shut. Do look upon Thy children. Oh, Thou knowest what a great matter that this is in this evening hour for each and every one of them. But they need also eyes to see it and hearts to understand it for the first time or by renewal. And so they are dependent upon Thee for everything. Oh, could it please Thee then in this evening to separate us for a few moments from all the things of time and sense. For it is a commemoration of death, and death is that to which each and every one are traveling, as we may see and feel by the callings which are coming to us even in this day. Oh, give us then in this evening a little separation, that all the things that are carnal and vain may have no place in Thy house in this night, but that our soul may be brought before Thee, and that we may consider our state before Thee for that never-ending eternity, and that it may become a serious matter, a matter of life and of death, that all our carelessness may be taken away in this evening hour, and that we could not let Thee go any longer, but that we may begin in this night by Thy Spirit to wrestle with Thee and not to let Thee go, except that Thou would bless us. Do be with all that were not able to be with us. Remember those that have become old in the nursing home, and those that are perhaps in their own homes in this evening hour. Wilt Thou grant them also a blessing out of Thy heavenly store, and all that are afflicted in mind and body, in all the needs and cares of families and of personal lives. Lord, that Thou may supply in all the needs in the midst of this fallen world, and that Thou would cause all these things to bring us to our knees before Thee. Do look upon us in this night. Lord, help us to bring Thy word. Make it an easy, make it a loving task. Be Thou in the midst and show Thyself to grant us an undeserved blessing in the forgiveness of all our sins, we ask in the name of Thine only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 47, stanzas 1, 4, 7, 8, and 9. My God, my God, I cry to Thee. Oh, why hast Thou forsaken me? Afar from me Thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. 1, 4, 7, 8, and 9 of Psalter 47.
Thank you.
Woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother. The suffering congregation, both in the body and in the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ, was that which is for us unfathomable, that we are not able to enter into that which the Lord Jesus had to pay when he had taken upon him the sin of his entire church. And yet at the same time, under all the agony of his sufferings in body and in soul, then we see the great tenderness that is living in his heart for his mother. We know that when he was born, that it was prophesied that a sword would pierce through her heart also. And so the Lord Jesus, in the day that he departed out of this life, did see the fulfillment also of the prophecy and the pain which did go through the heart of his mother. And now in his departure, we read how that he has taken care of her, that he has given to her a son. But it was not only his mother for whom that his care was upon that cross, but it was the care of his entire church. And this we wish with the Lord's help to consider with you in this evening out of the words of our text, which you can find in John 19, in the 30th verse, only the middle part. John 19, verse 30, these words, "It is finished." So far the words of our text. The declaration of Christ concerning his finished work. First, what it means to be finished. Second, what it was that he finished. And third, his declaration that it was finished. The declaration of Christ concerning his finished work. First, what it means to be finished. Second, what it was that he finished. And third, his declaration that it was finished. Which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." That is, congregation, a great shame. A great shame before men, our fellow man in this world, when we will begin and when we are not able to finish. That is a testimony. A testimony of what? It is a testimony, perhaps, of our foolishness. That we have not sufficiently planned. Maybe that we have overestimated ourselves. Maybe that we did not have a proper view of the requirements of that which we intended to perform. And thus men begin to mock at our foolishness. Perhaps it is a testimony of our weakness, of our inability to accomplish the desire of our heart, that we were not able to overcome everything that did come against us in this matter. So we see the Jewish people, and that there is a foundation of the temple, and there that foundation did sit. Why? Because there was an enemy, and they were not able to overcome the devices, the wiles, the strength of that enemy. And thus also that enemy was mocking. Perhaps it is a testimony of our lack of resolve. Maybe it is a testimony of our laziness, of our inactivity. Thus, to finish, that is now just the opposite. When we will begin, but we will also finish, that is also a testimony. That is a testimony of our wisdom, of our planning, that indeed we had a right estimation of what the demands were and what our abilities were. That is a testimony of our strength, that we were able to overcome everything that resisted finishing. It is a testimony of our patience, of our resolve, of our steadfastness, that we were able to endure not just a little while, but that we were able to endure even unto the very end. To begin and not to finish, that is a great waste of time. That is a great waste of energy. That is a great waste of resources. And it is for us, therefore, a great shame. But now to finish, that is a triumph. There is, children, is there not a great satisfaction when you have begun something, but you also come to the end? That you may complete it, because then your purpose, then your end, that is obtained. Then your goal, that is accomplished, and then you may know something. What it now feels to be in your own self, when you may come to the end, when you may finish. For us, when we begin, we never know if we will come to the end. We never know if we shall finish. And why not? Because for us, everything is uncertain. The circumstances of our life are uncertain. The providence of the Lord, that is uncertain. Our life itself, our health, that is uncertain. Also, when we are young, as we have heard it in this day, then we cannot always see those things that are going to come against us when we begin, by the time or before that we come to the end. nor do we have the power always to resist that which comes against us. And then sometimes it is the Lord Himself that is standing in the way. What is the name of that tower, children? What is the name of that tower? And that was supposed to go, according to men, unto heaven, but was unfinished. You know, that was Babel. It was not finished. And why not? It was not begun in the Lord. And the Lord did not permit it to have an end. So it is for man. We do not know when we begin whether we come to the end. But congregation, how is that now for the Lord? That is so different. There is with Him no question. We read that He is called the Alpha, but He is called also the Omega. He is called the beginning, but He is also called the ending. And with Him there is certainty. Certainty from the very beginning. Why? Because of His wisdom, because of His power, because of His patience, because of His faithfulness, because to Him there are no surprises, because in Him there is no weakness, because in Him there is no changeableness. What He begins, He will always finish to the end. Why? He has a purpose. And His purposes cannot be frustrated. That is why there is no such thing as limbus patrum, as Rome says. Cannot be. Not necessary. Limbus patrum, that is limbo for the fathers, limbo for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, limbo, that is neither the joys of heaven or the sufferings of hell, in limbo for some time when they died, until the Lord Jesus died and paid that price. Why? Because it was not yet accomplished. Because it was not yet finished. And so they had to wait. Is that right, children? No, that is not right. That is what the Roman Catholic Church says. But that is not the truth. We do not read that in the Bible. There is no such thing. It is not necessary. Why not? Because God is not like us. No, He is so very different than we are. What do we read? He is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Thus you say that happened on Good Friday. Yes. Yes, that happened on Good Friday. But it was already from the foundation of the world. It was what? It was sure. And why was it so sure from the foundation of the world? Just as sure as that day wherein it did take place, that we commemorate in this day. Just as sure for Abraham as it was for us in this day. Why? Why? Because God is not a man that He should lie. Because God is not the Son of Man that He should repent. Because in Him there is no variableness, there is no shadow of turning. Because He is the Almighty, because He is the All-Faithful. and the hands of Zerubbabel. And they have laid the foundation of that house. But his hands, they shall also finish it. Oh, there lies such a certainty in the promises of the Lord. Because of who he is, that he cannot but finish once that he has begun. Oh, our children, they put so much trust in us as fathers, as mothers, that when we say that we promise them something, they are looking, they are waiting, they are asking. And they believe it is coming. That is good. But they do not know how weak we are. And they do not know how unfaithful that we are. And they do not know everything that truly can come between. Oh, how different that is for God's children. How different that is for that remnant of the Lord. What a rest that that people may have. And what a peace that that people may have in their soul. Because of that promiser. Because of who he is. He begins. He finishes. When he began the creation, he also finished it, and then he rested on the seventh day. And he does not leave it, not leave it over to itself, but he continues with it. Why? He has a purpose in it, in his providence to bring it to a certain determinate end. And if, congregation, it is so with his creation, is it not much more so with his work and with his purpose of redemption for which he has even created this world? We see that in our second thought, what it was that he has finished. My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. To whom did the Lord Jesus speak? He spoke to his brethren. What did his brethren say to him? They said, go up unto Jerusalem and do now in Jerusalem the same things that thou doest here in Galilee, and show thyself now unto the world, and let them see also thy works. Show thyself who that thou art. Why did they say that? Well, we read it. For neither did his brethren believe in him. And now what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, my time is not yet come. Yes, I will go. And I will sacrifice myself. I will give myself for my church. But not yet. And why not yet? Because he still has a work to do. Because there is still so much that needs to be accomplished. And that is his will, that is his desire, that is his delight. And now here we read, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. Where is he? He is hanging upon the cross. Oh, how much has not taken place from that time to this time. We have heard it in the weeks that are gone by. We have heard of his faithfulness in going forward. And now we see that it comes so near unto its end. And yet there is one thing that remained. We read that the scripture might be fulfilled. One more thing. The Lord Jesus did not leave anything to chance, but in an active way, he has fulfilled everything. In all of his sufferings, in all of his agonies, in body and in soul. And then he was so very concerned that the scriptures might be fulfilled. No, then he did not think of his own ease, but it was of his church. It was of the honor and the glory of his own Father. And there was a people whom he would bring in unto his Father again. All there was one more thing. And what was that one thing that remained? We read in Psalm 69, "And in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." There was, congregation, one little drop yet of suffering that still had to be endured. And now also this last drop, the Lord Jesus would not leave undone. No, he has fulfilled everything to the very smallest part. We know before that they crucified him that they offered him wine mingled with myrrh. But stupefy his senses, the Lord Jesus would not. No, he will endure to the end, not only, but also the most bitter of the sufferings that were due unto his church. But now, the Lord Jesus says, "I thirst." Why? Oh, does he come to the end of his suffering? Does it become so great for him that finally it is a little bit too much? Or is it that he looks back only a little bit, that he desires that he may receive a little bit of relief in all of his sufferings? No. No, that cannot be, because there is a punishment that needs to be endured. But it is for a reason. And that is, we read that the scriptures may be fulfilled. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon a hyssop and put it to his mouth. Oh, what had the Lord Jesus just prayed unto his Father as his persecutors have crucified him? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And from their side, there is for him not one drop of refreshment. "I thirst." And then not a drop of water, but vinegar. Oh, the church has not merited refreshment. No, that church that has merited punishment, that is the wages of their sin. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, what a willingness to endure that punishment to its last and to its bitter end. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." What is finished? What do you think, children? Or what does that sound like? You say he has received the vinegar, and now he is done drinking of that vinegar. And so he says, "It is finished." Is that so? It is not so. No, it is not so at all. The word here is actually accomplished. It is accomplished. And when the Lord Jesus says this, then he refers to that same thing that he has said only a few moments before. After this, Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished, same word, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." And now, after the Lord Jesus has drunk the dregs of the suffering due to his church, unto that last drop, now he says, "It is accomplished." Thus our second thought, what it was that was finished in those words. It is accomplished. Then the Lord Jesus points to his entire active and passive obedience. Then the Lord Jesus points to his entire mediatorial labors, to everything that he was required to do from the side of his Father in that covenant in eternity, to everything that he has covenanted to perform. Thus, it encompasses his very incarnation and his labors in preaching, in miracles, his perfect obedience, his fulfillment of the righteousness of the law, but especially his suffering. The shame, the reproach, the suffering by the hands of his enemies, body and soul. It is accomplished. The types that pointed to him, they are accomplished. The prophecies that spoke of him in the suffering, in the passion, in the mediatorial labors, they are accomplished. The promises from the very beginning of the time, and that he will bruise that head of that serpent, it is accomplished. Oh, there is nothing anymore that is not accomplished. It is finished. Now there is nothing to prevent him from going forward to that very last step, included also actually in these words, his death, which will be for him a deliverance to enter into paradise. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, all to enter and to receive that joy that was set before him, and to come into that place where the wicked, they cease from troubling. It is finished, he says. What is the purpose that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world? It is for the salvation of his elect. Or why did he need to come to accomplish this? Because congregation, there was no other way possible. Because from our side, it was completely cut off. Therefore, he came to fulfill what his people could not fulfill. Therefore, he came to accomplish what his elect were not able to accomplish. And now, hanging upon that tree, he declares that the redemption of his church is complete. It is finished. The Old Testament, there was a continuation. Every time again, those sacrifices were to be brought. Time and again, that blood was flowing. Could not cease. Why not? It was never accomplished in this. It was never finished in this. It could never come to an end in this. Because the blood of bulls and goats are not able to take away sin. But in the death of Christ, then we read how that veil of the temple that is rent from the top to the bottom. Why? It is finished. All, there is not one drop of blood that needs any more to be shed. And that entire Mosaic economy is completely dissolved. And it will make way for a new hope. It will make way for a better hope. Because the last and that final blow has been given to that great enemy of the church. His power has been taken away. His head is bruised and a fountain. An ever-flowing fountain has been opened for sin and for uncleanness. It is finished. Oh, what does it mean? It means that the requirements of justice are completely fulfilled. It means that the demands of the law are accomplished. It means that the perfection of that standard of that holy law of God that the Lord requires of his church, that is without the least sin in thought, word, and deed, is accomplished. It is fulfilled. And that perfect obedience is now sufficient to bring in life for his church. It is finished. What is finished? The curse. Oh, the curse. Did you ever feel the curse? Was that curse ever pronounced against you? Oh, that curse. The Lord Jesus says, it is finished. Cannot curse anymore. Why not? Because there is no guilt. All justice is satisfied. The payment for transgression that has fully been brought in, so that justice is no longer against the people, but justice itself is now standing on the side of the church of God. Because that punishment that is fully paid, and that righteous judge, he can do no less than fully acquit those for whom that punishment has been paid. Oh, it is finished. the wrath of God finished. How? Oh, because of his only begotten Son, in whom he is well pleased, has endured that wrath for the sake of his church. It is finished. What is finished? Separation. Oh, does your heart bleed because of separation? It is finished. Why? Because sin that makes separation is now taken out of the way, and therefore reconciliation is brought in for his church. It is finished. Oh, what a mockery that Christ has endured. What did they say to him? They said to him and of him, he said he was the Son of God. He made himself a king. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. What did they say? They say he boasted. He boasted of something that he was not able to perform. He boasted of something that he was not able to accomplish. With what patience that he has borne all this mockery, knowing what was necessary for his own church. He has finished the suffering that you and I could not finish. World without end. Oh, how will be our suffering, congregation? How long shall it be? Will there ever be an end? Will we ever be able to say, it's coming close? After 1,000 years, after 1,000,000 years, after 1,000,000,000 years, after 1,000,000,000,000 years, will we ever be able to say that it is coming closer to its end, that it is almost finished? Oh, man can never finish. For us, the punishment, that is forever. Why? Because of the infinity of that God against whom you and I have sinned. But congregation, it must be finished. If we are ever to be delivered from it. If it is never finished, we never can be released from that prison. Because God cannot change. And he is a righteous judge. And when that punishment is not paid, then we should never expect that we shall be delivered from it. Oh, Christ was able to finish. He was able to say, it is finished. How? Because of his divine nature. Because of who he is. That divine nature giving an infinite value unto his sufferings. Therefore, there can be but one name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved, and not only able, but willing. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Oh, nothing could turn him away. Temptation could not turn him away. Mockery could not turn him away. Pain could not turn him away. Suffering could not turn him away. As it became greater and greater and greater, knowing everything that was before him to the end of his life, setting his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem as a flint,
never turning away. And so that time came that he said, "It is finished." It is a testimony. It is a testimony to his father to say, "Father, I have now finished everything to the last drop of what thou hast required of me, that I may now be delivered, that I may now enter in, but also that I may bring with me a church whose sin has been laid upon me, for whom I have paid that price, and for whom that price that is completely accomplished," a testimony to his own father, but also a testimony to his church, for their instruction and for their great comfort. You see that in our third point, the declaration that he makes that it is finished. But let us sing verse 261, 1 and 2. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders he hath wrought. His right hand and arm most holy triumph to his cause have brought. 1 and 2 of 261.
It is finished. Whose words, congregation, are these? They are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are His own declaration. There is a difference between a thing and the declaration of that thing. There is a difference between the sufferings of Christ and the declaration of the sufferings of Christ. By His sufferings, the Lord Jesus has paid the price for His church. By His sufferings, the Lord Jesus has taken all the obstacles out of the way that His Father may receive them again. But how would that be now if there was no Bible? How would that be now if there was no ministry? Then it could not be known. Thus, there is a difference between the sufferings of Christ and the declaration of the sufferings of Christ. Then those sufferings also needed to be declared in order that people, they may also come to hear of those sufferings. That is why we had to go. We did not choose to do this. Do you think so, children? That we chose to be a minister? That is not so. To our shame, we have resisted it. But the Lord says, go. Then we have to go. Why? Because you need to hear something. And so He also sends us to this place to do what? To declare something. To declare what? What the Lord Jesus has declared. Thus He has not only accomplished it, but He also declares that it is accomplished. Oh, what is the purpose? What is the value of that declaration? That is for instruction. That is for comfort. And there is a people that need to be instructed in the finished work of Christ. It is finished. Who are they? They are a people who are laboring to finish that work themselves. Is that you too? Or have you no labor? Or are we completely careless? Indeed, we have been taught from our youth, our children know that too, that first covenant has been broken, making it impossible for man to finish anymore. But the knowledge of this from our youth, that is in our mind, that is good. But we need more than this. How must we learn it? We must learn it in the practice of our life, because that finished work of Christ, that is not precious to us when we still have our own strength left.
Or let us ask ourselves tonight, how is it with us concerning that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you say, children? Any place for this in your heart? What do you say, fathers and mothers? Is there any place for this in your heart? No? And why not? Or it is possible that we have no desire at all. It is possible we have never begun to labor. It is possible that there is no desire at all to be restored unto our Maker. That there is no love for Him. That our whole life, that is form of religion and world. Then indeed, that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is not precious to us. All there is people, they come from the heights, and they look down upon that struggling remnant of the Lord. And you know what they say to them? They say, the Lord says in His word, it's finished. Why are you still struggling? It's all done. They may be right in the theory. They are wrong in the practice. Joab was right also in the theory. But he was wrong in the practice. When he rebuked David after the death of Absalom. Because Joab never experienced what David had to experience. And Joab could never come into the trouble and the distress of David. And then we can know everything in the theory. But in the practice, we are all wrong. There is a reason that people labor. Why do they labor? Because of love. Because of love that is born in that new birth. Do you know such a thing? They labor for desire. They labor because they miss the Lord. Because they would return unto Him again. Or do you also labor because of love? Do you labor to take sin out of the way? Do you labor in your inner chamber? Do you labor in the Word of God? Or do you labor to make it right between God and your soul? And why do they so labor? Because, congregation, they do not know any other way. They do not know any other way but to labor. Why? No other way has been revealed to them. You say it is written in the Word of God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it is written in the Word of God. But they still do not see it. No, Bunyan's pilgrim also had the Word of God in his hand. But he could not see their wicked gate. And as long as it is not revealed, then they continue to spend all of their living on other physicians. That is the only way they know. Even though it continues to get worse and worse. And as long as they still have money for other physicians, it is not revealed to them. But now when that is done, then in their impossibility, then the Lord is coming with His word. And what is the Lord saying to that people? He is saying, is finished. And then they may see something. Then they may see something as they have never seen before. Then they may hear it with new ears. Then they may see it with new eyes. Then they may see it with an eye of faith. When that word enters into their heart, it is finished. Nothing more required. That way, already made open. The price fully paid. The judge completely satisfied. That father wholly reconciled. It is finished. I cannot finish it because of justice. But neither do I have to finish it. Why not? Because he has declared it. It is finished. Oh, blessed revelation. To make unnecessary all of my labors, which I do experience, are completely insufficient. Oh, blessed revelation. To open that way that I have closed, and to give hope in the midst of despair. It is finished. Not one jot, not one tittle needs to be added by my weak and sinful heart and hands. The way made open to those who are not able to help themselves and that lie in the midst of their own wretchedness, by their own fault. That way made open for the lepers, for the blind, for the deaf, for the dumb, and all their inability. That way made open for publicans and sinners who would have to pay for all eternity. Never be finished. Open to a Saul of Tarsus who has become a Paul and who still has to declare, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It is finished. Nothing more required, only freely to be received by a true and a living faith, without money and without price. Oh, what is it? A blessed declaration, instruction, and a great comfort. Instruction for that people. Oh, indeed, who are still laboring. Oh, that they may quickly work themselves to death, because you shall not find it. You shall not find it until you find it in him and in his finished work. And also a great comfort for those who have to experience that when the Lord has begun, they are not able to finish this work themselves. Oh, they thought it would be so different. To come closer and closer. To become holier and holier. Holiness does not increase. Only the knowledge of self. But now to have that eye directed upon him who has declared it. To be completely finished. Oh, to the great comfort and the peace of their soul in the midst of their own wretchedness and wickedness. To see more and more that it is alone out of a free and a sovereign grace. Congregation, it is finished. Do you see what we reject? Do you see what we reject? We reject by nature, every one of us by nature, we reject a finished work. A finished work. Is that not awful? Must we not be dead? Must we not be dead in trespasses and in sins? Blind when we do not see beauty in a finished work? So it is. Oh, ask the Lord. Beg the Lord. Go on your knees tonight, children. Will you do that? Will you do that? Go on your knees. Say, Lord, I need open eyes to see my need. I need open eyes to see thee and all that thou hast done. All that thou hast fully accomplished and finished, else soon, very soon, very soon, we are going to enter into that place where it will never be finished. Never. To all eternity. Oh, it is declared to us in this day. And in that place, then this word also of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has declared from that cross, published in the time also unto us, will burn in our conscience. Oh, that I had only considered in that day of grace my own great need. Oh, that it may never testify against us. Is there a people? Is there a people who still cannot see him? Oh, is there a people who do yet labor? Oh, no, no, we cannot show it unto you. He hideth behind our wall. We can try to proclaim it, but he must show himself. He must show himself through the lattice if you will ever see him. But if he has begun, he will finish. Also that work. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. And he cannot leave it unfinished. Though he will finish perfectly what he for his church has undertaken. Wait for him. Oh, wait patiently for him. For the man will not be in rest until he has finished that thing. This day, also for you. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot bring it but to the ears. Oh, bring it in our hearts. It is a precious word, and we can but stammer a little bit, but oh, that thou may bless and sanctify it unto each and every one. Cause us to hasten
And for the sake of our life in this short, short time, before that we enter into that long, long eternity, and wilt thou bring us safely to our homes in this night. O, give to us also a desire to be together upon thy day, and the ability therefore to bring and to hear thy word. Forgive our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 277, 1, 2, 3, and 8. Oh, praise and bless the Lord, my soul. His wondrous love proclaim, join heart and voice and all my powers to bless his holy name. 1, 2, 3, and 8 of 277.
Oh, praise.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.